Praise God, my brothers, my sisters. Thank you indeed for tuning in. And it's a blessing to have you listening to the channel. This is Spirit and Life. And it is from God's Word, John chapter 6, verse 63. And Jesus tells his disciples that the flesh counts for nothing, but the Spirit gives life. And the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. God's words are spirit and life. That means it's not just English. It's not just whatever language that you hear. God's words communicate life. They communicate his heart. They communicate that which he has desired for us. They bring that revelation. They translate the invisible to be visible. And yesterday we've been looking at faith and the first message in this series was, you know, what is faith? Looking at the definition of faith, that being the assurance, the confidence of things, the evidence, you know, the title deed of things hoped for. And this hope, we said, it's not just positive thinking or a desire, but this is what is divinely guaranteed, that which means which God has spoken. That is the faith that translates the spiritual into the physical. And that faith which is now, which cannot be seen by our physical eyes, but is seen by our spiritual senses, is heard by our spiritual ears, is seen by our spiritual eyes, is believed by our spirit. That which God has spoken comes to pass. And yesterday we started looking at, you know, at God as the demonstrator of faith, as the creator, as the one who showed us how this faith translates the visible into the invisible into the visible, how God created out of nothing, how God is still a creator, and how God is still able to create things in our lives, to create things to turn around our situations, to turn around your situation, my situation, to convert that which is dead, to change that which is broken, to heal. The God that makes nothing, makes things out of nothing. That is the God that we serve, and that is the God that we believe in. And today we shall carry on with that message of faith. And we are reading and doing a study from Hebrews chapter 11, and we shall still go back look at the ancients, the elders, the heroes of faith. And these are the examples that we see of men and women of God. And that does not stop with them. Also, you are part of that list, and how God moved in them, God helping us. So let us pray even as we start. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I give you glory, I praise you, I worship your holy name. I thank you for the chance to share your word again. I look to you for inspiration, O God. You are the God that brings to life your word. That it is not of our own doing, not of our own ability, not of our own capacity, but it is you that calls things that are not as if they were, O God. It is you that calls the weak things and makes them strong, oh God. It is you that calls them qualified and qualifies them. And I thank you for your children that are purposed to listen and to grow in your word. That, Lord, you shall bring revelations and insight and understanding and depth of knowledge. Help us, oh God, and speak to us in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. So it's Let's read again Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1 to 6. It says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did, and by faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as the one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who honestly seek him." And yesterday I started speaking about the ancients and the times of old, and how when we look at the Bible, we see that God captured the history of man from creation. And you can check the history books. They will tell you that the Bible is authentic. It's an authentic account of the history of man. And scientists have proven it. Historians have proven it. Now, of all the men in history, of all that they achieved, many of them did not enter into the records of heaven, into the annals of heaven. And the annals and the books of heaven record men of faith. And these are the heroes of faith that we are looking at. These are the examples of faith that the book of Hebrews chapter 11 tries to pick. And it's not on all of them, because it is not exhaustible. We cannot exhaust all the various people who acted in faith in the Bible. And the Bible is a record of men's engagement with God. And one of the things that we see is that their faith, their belief, their trust in God did not just stop in the believing phase. It translated to action. It translated to creation. It translated to bringing the invisible to the visible. And if God is to build our faith, is to help us activate and bring things that are not and bring them into reality. And this is the desire of my heart, that God helping us and helping you and me, that he shall build us again to shift our focus, to shift our eyes from the physical state of things and to see the reality that God has already revealed, that God has already spoken about our lives, about us as believers. There are things that God has already revealed. God has already spoken. God has already done. Oh my God. There are things that God has already done. When he said it is finished on the cross, oh my God. There are things that God has already completed for you and me. Your destiny. It says every single day of my life was written in your book before it came to be. My brother, my sister, your life is already completed. I mean, he says he knew you in him. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. and I appointed you as a prophet unto the nations. God does not create rejects. God does not create failures. God did not create us to not fulfill his purpose. God already saw the wonderful created and completed works. And that's why he says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you when I was formed in the secret place. You know what? You're not an accident. It doesn't matter whether your parents wanted you or not. Your frame was not hidden before God. And you are an idea in God's mind. You are in his spirit. You are in him. And he expressed himself through you. Man made in the image of God. And he watches to see us move into that reality that God had made for us. But many of us are not on that path. Let me not digress, I'm sorry. This is what verse 2 says, that this is what the ancients were commended for. And we continue to see who the ancients were. And yesterday we looked at God as the creator, as God as a founder and demonstrator of faith. And we saw how he created and how he has given us power over creation. And we saw that it's not about invention. It's not about making things and converting things that God has already created, which is different from science. So let us look at the first person who God lists as was commended. Okay, maybe just before you know, what's commendation? Maybe just to look at commendation. Just English. There are various words that can be used for that commendation. These are the people who God praised. I'm just using the English words to just give meaning. This is what the ancients were commended for. This is what the ancients were praised for. This is what the ancients were congratulated for. This is what the ancients, faith is what the ancients were appreciated for. Faith is what the ancients were given credit, recognized for, given respect, admired, given approval, given honorable mention. You know, if you look at Jeremiah 6 verse 16, it says that this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. God, and the reason why he has given us the word, he has given us his DNA, he has given us his pattern, he has given us the pathway, he has given us encounters of records and accounts of his dealing with men who are just like us. The Bible tells us Elijah was just a man like us with like passions, in that he had hunger, he was depressed, he was scared, he ran. He was fearful, but he was also courageous. He prayed. He was a man just like us. Examples of men with weaknesses. Abraham, whose weaknesses were turned to strength. Look at Gideon, who knew and was certain that he was the weakest, smallest in their family. Their clan is the smallest. And he was hiding in the rocks, threshing. And he asked God, I mean, for sure, if you're there, where are your works? Yeah, there are times we ask God, where are you? And we see these heroes of faith. commended for their faith. And we say faith is not just belief. It's translated to action. And I'll ask today, what are your actions that back your faith? So we see that by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. Abel. You know, it's interesting to, when you look at the account of Abel and Cain, I am sure Adam and his wife Eve had told Cain and Abel of the Garden of Eden, had told them of God, of God's creation, of how God created them and put them in the Garden of Eden, and had told them of how, because of their disobedience, they had been sent out of the Garden of Eden. And you know, the angel, the cherubim, is guarding the gate. And so it's amazing that these two sons of Adam and Eve, in the course of time, the scriptures tells us that in the course of time, they came and offered a sacrifice to God. At times you'd ask yourself, why or what made them offer a sacrifice? Did God ask for it? But you see, Hebrews gives us the answer. It tells us that by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice. That means is that they knew they were cast away from God. They knew that they had no access back to the Garden of Eden. But the faith that looks and calls upon God, the faith that puts its hope in God, the faith that believes that God exists and comes to him in faith, that is a faith that has an action that moves the heart of God. And that's it. The Bible tells us, we've read in verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who honestly seek him. That means that for you to experience faith, you must believe in God and you must come to him. Many times people are believing in their own strength. They're believing in their uncles. They're believing in their education. They're believing in their papers. They're believing in their talking skills, in their oratory skills. They think it's their wit and intelligence that will give them, help them get forward. They don't realize that everything is held by the hands of God. The Bible tells us that the heart of the king is in the Lord's hands. He directs it like a watercourse. I tell you, that person, the king, the heart of the president, the heart of the ruler is in the Lord's hands. That person who you think is your boss, who is holding your promotion, the Bible says the heart of the king is in the Lord's hands, and he will direct it like a watercourse. I was reading an interesting story the other day, maybe just to digress, of a billionaire who was asked, Who is the greatest person who has ever surprised you? And the billionaire said, actually, it is a Christian. And he was asked, what do you mean? And he said, I met a Christian praying, I think it was in Israel. And he was praying and praying, and after people had finished praying, he kept praying and praying. So the billionaire was moved to find out, what is this man praying about? And so he went and listened to the man. And the man was praying for God to give him $10,000 to do a surgery, I think either for one of his family members. And the billionaire had the money in his pocket and told him, my friend, I've heard you pray. I want to give you the 10,000. And he gave him. And he said, let me give you my number. I'm a billionaire. If there's anything you ever need, just call me. I'll give it to you. And the man, on receiving the money, first knelt down and gave thanks to God and praised God. And then the man was surprised, the billionaire was surprised, and he wondered, I mean, what is wrong? I mean, the man refused the number, the card. And he asked, why don't you want to, you know, to have my card and my number? They say, the man told him, no. I will pray to God again. If I need something, I will pray to God again, who is able to send someone like you. Not letting man take God's glory. So we can see that Abel went and offered to God his best. He gave, you know, the firstborn as a sacrifice to the Lord. And Cain offered, you know, his crops, you know, his what he had planted. So at times someone will ask, but Cain gave what he worked on. I mean, he wasn't he wasn't taking care of sheep or goats. Cain offered what he had, which is the plants. Abel tended sheep, so he offered the lamb, the best of the flock. Now, is it that God preferred the lamb to the crops? I mean, when we bring our first fruits like crops to the Lord, will God reject them? No. The answer that we get here is that it was by faith that Abel offered a better sacrifice. That means his belief and the state of his heart in coming to God, in believing that God, even though you chased us out, you chased our parents out of the Garden of Eden, you're still there. And I believe that you can hear me when I call. Later on we read, men began to call on the name of the Lord, but actually Abel is the first person who called on the name of the Lord. The interesting thing when you read, and please read the account in detail again. The Bible says the Lord looked on favor at Abel and his offering. He did not look at favor on the offering. Let me correct that. Let me put that clear. It was not, God does not look at the offering alone. God first looks at the person bringing the offering. So it is not the amount of tithe you give. It is not the amount of money you bring. It is not the amount of, you know, how much seeds you have sown. But God looked at Abel and his offering. and looked at Cain and his offering. So the first person that God reflects upon is us before what we are bringing to him. I tell you, no matter how much effort you want to do, unless you're living a righteous life, unless you're righteous before God, unless you're cleansed by the blood of Jesus, then it is an exercise in futility. It is just religion. And that's the problem we have. We have so many people who are basically just doing religion. Yes, they're in the choir. Yes, they're giving their tithes and offerings. Yes, they're ushers. But when the Lord looks at them, he rejects them and their offering. And so it is by faith that this faith of Abel, that God said, this is a righteous man. He was declared righteous. Can you believe it? He was declared righteous by God. God commended him as righteous. God acclaimed him as righteous. Faith. That's why the Bible says that it is by grace. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is faith that declares us righteous. Faith in Jesus Christ that gives us righteousness, that we become the righteousness of God. I tell you, when you meet someone who does not have faith, he will tell you you're mad. How can you believe in the death of someone who died 2,000 years ago is enough to cleanse your sins? But the faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus is what has given us hope and life and peace and joy and victory over life and death. Hope, faith in God. So by faith, he offered a better sacrifice than Cain. And you see, Cain, yes, he offered. But you see, when God examined Cain, he saw that sin was knocking at his door. And when he rejected his offering, he asked him, Cain, why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? And he tells him that sin is knocking, encroaching at the door of your heart. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Sin encroaches, it knocks. It comes in like that proverbial giraffe that asked to just put the head inside the house, then the neck, then the body, then even the tail, and the owner of the house was pushed out. The wages of sin is death. Everyone is tempted by their own evil desire. No one should say that God is tempting him, because God cannot be tempted by evil. Encroaches, encroaches. And sin was knocking at the heart of Cain. And that is what God saw. And he gave him the warning. And Cain had a chance to repent. He had a chance to switch from unbelief to faith in God, to obedience. But he chose to go his own way. And God always gives us a choice. There is no one who falls into sin without God warning them and speaking to them, without God through conscience telling them that what you're doing is wrong, stop. But many times we decide to go ahead and move into sin. And that is what Cain did. But Abel was commended as righteous. If you want the commendation of men, you will get it. If you want 1 million likes on Facebook and YouTube and all the social medias, you will get it. Because men will praise you for doing wicked things. They will praise you, they will clap for you. But heaven will not clap for you. The commendation of God is greater than the praise of men. So Abel was declared righteous. So we know that we'll find Abel in heaven. Can you believe it? We'll find him in heaven. Why? Because he was declared righteous by faith. He lived by faith. For us, we are lucky in our time. Christ has paid the price for us to experience that faith. And so when Cain killed him, the Bible says that, and by faith, even though he is dead, he still speaks. The blood of Abel, when it went to the ground, the Bible says it cried out to God. Can you believe it? Blood cried out to God. And this is spiritual intelligence. Wow, no, let's not go deeper into that. Blood that he thought that Cain thought that he killed Abel and no one saw. And he, when he was asked, where is your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? And then God tells him that your brother's blood cries out. So it has a voice, it has a mouth. It cried. And the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus speaks better things for us than the blood of Abel. I don't know what the blood of, I suppose the blood of Abel was crying for justice. God, see what my brother has done. But the blood of Jesus does not speak for us, speak justice, but it speaks mercy. It cries mercy. It says, I died for this. I died for such as this. I came for these prostitutes. I came for this sexually immoral. I came for these thieves. I came for this who have rejected me. I came for this lost son and daughter. I came for them. I died for them. The blood of Jesus speaks better things for us than the blood of Abel. And we can come under the blood of Jesus. By faith. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blood. I thank you for teaching us of the faith of Abel. I thank you that, Lord, we know it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by your spirit. And I thank you for my brother, my sister, who by faith desires to offer a better sacrifice. And you have taught us that we are that sacrifice first. We are the living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. Thank you that you may help us to be that sacrifice that you can accept. And we ask that your blood you shed on the cross, the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel, will speak on our behalf. And them that are in bondage will be set free by the blood in this moment. May they accept you as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for joining in. Feel free to comment questions, share the video, and join me once again carry on as God helps us go through the message of faith. God bless you. I love you. Bye.